Anyway, so I have to make this quick. And of course, that's what we're having for the class. It's too bad you're not coming to new members class, steak, potatoes, and salad. Of course, it's all ground up, I think, and smeared on bread. But anyway, something like that. So I titled this, I really wrestled with this message. And sometimes I wrestle with titles as much as the content. Finally decided on "You Really Love," but what I wanted to say was, and I thought, it's just too simple, but, you know, and I used to hear this years ago. There was this gal with her dog, and she'd say, who wubs you to her dog, and I wanted to title it this, who wubs you, but I thought, you do that, and they won't let you stay here anymore, so you can't do that, but you know, you're really loved, and I don't know if you get it. And I really wanted to bring this message in conjunction with the members class and all that. And we've been in Colossians, Ephesians. We're going to go bounce around right there. Then we're going to go over to Elijah. It's coming up in the future. And I mentioned that to you before. We're going to talk about how things can get in your head, no matter how strong and powerful you are in the Lord, or physically or mentally, whatever. And how things can get in your head, and how the devil can use that to just finally bring you down. Such a powerful man of God. We'll talk about that and how that happened. And then we'll talk about dealing with hope, and when there's hope and then no hope. and then when hope revives, and all the stories and the situation in Scripture. So that's just giving you a preview of some things and outlines that have outlined and working on. But today we're just going to talk about, you know, you're really loved, and I don't know if we get it. I don't mean just you right here, but we in the Christian community. I don't know if we get it. And you know, when I'm not here, it just seems like I'm constantly dealing with people with guilt and feeling condemned. And they certainly don't feel loved. And you ask them, "Do you really believe God loves you?" "Well, I know it." Here's the common response. "I know it says He does." Well, that answer right there just told me, no, you don't believe He loves you. And I know He says He does, but you don't believe it, do you? Or you don't feel it, you don't get it. So I want to read this to you. And I'm using New American Standard today. I started to use the New Living, and then it just, something didn't work right. And I tried the New International, and that didn't work right, so I went back to this one. And I just want it to flow good for us, but you'll have these up here. And it says, "See how great a love the Father has for us, that we should be called children of God." And then what does it say? "And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him." And I want to give you the whole thing, and we're not going to dwell on the latter part, but just the first part for a minute, just to lead us into that, that you just need to see how great a love that God has for you, you know, and you just can't get it, that He calls you children of God. And listen to this. When you have a child, you don't know until that child begins to reach a certain age what kind of conduct they're going to have. You want it to be the best. You try to teach them right. And it's always a shock to parents when a little kid tells their first lie. And I know none of you as children ever told a lie to your parents, but other people have had that problem. And it just shatters everything that my child's a sinner. You know, did you break that? No. Did you drop that? No. My kid had this thing, real little, where she would, you had to watch her. She'd go in the bathroom, and there was something about taking the paper, and she'd stuff the toilet with the toilet paper, the whole roll, and push it down in there. And it was like, what is it with you? You know? And then the other thing was, she would like to eat. I wish she was here. I just wish she was here today. She skipped today. That's what you get, kid. You can listen to this out there. And she loved eating potting soil. I don't know what it was, but you'd have to grab her and empty out her diaper, and there would be like a kangaroo pouch full of potting soil in there. And it's like, what's with you, child? And you begin to realize that they're not perfect, and all these things shock you. I thought, my kid eats dirt. I have a child that eats dirt. And you're just thinking, what if everybody finds this out? The pastor's kid eats dirt. But that came as a surprise, and I'm not, I pick on her when she's here, and all of you know. But the point is, this is a shock to us, and we discover these things, but we love them anyway. I can't even fathom that God, before we're born, knows we're going to eat dirt. You know what I'm saying? He knows we're going to get down and crawl in it. He knows every sin we'll ever commit, and he knows the first lie we're going to tell to the last lie we'll ever tell, and he knows everything in between before. I don't know if we can handle it if we knew all the things our kids were going to do before they're born. I couldn't. I would just say, nope, marriage is out, I'm done. Get me a place up in the mountains and I'll live just fine. But God knows. And he puts us together in the womb, and it says how we're wonderfully created and our sinews are knitted together. And he does this knowing everything you're going to do. And you see, you need to let that soak in. Wait a minute. It comes as a surprise to us as adults, but we're already in love with our children, and we've rocked the little babies and all that, and then they start doing what all little kids do. And, when we realize that they're sinners that have to be saved by grace, like all the rest. God knows before we're ever born that we're going to do all this stuff and that we're going to hurt him really bad. God knows every heartache we're ever going to give him, every lost night's sleep, and God grieves over us. And I ask yourself, how many times have I grieved the heart of God in my life? And yet he knew I would do that before I was ever born. What manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. I mean, see, it's such a great love the Father has. I can't even fathom it. That we should be called his children, and so we are. And he did this knowing we'd break his heart. He did this knowing how long it would take us to become a Christian. He did it knowing that when you leave here today, no matter how spirit-filled you are, that maybe, perhaps, before the day or the next day is over, you're going to be mad at somebody and say something ugly right out there on that highway. As a matter of fact, if it's in your heart, the devil will probably see to it that just as soon as you start getting on I-10, somebody's going to do something stupid and you'll be saying a word you wish you'd never said. You said, have you ever done that? It's like, I just got out of church. And here I am, or it's gone. You ever told God, I'm going to make it through today and I'm not going to say another bad word? Did it work? Something will surely happen when you say that, won't it? And it just upset you to no end. This morning, I came so close. I wanted to say something, and I thought, you can't cuss on Sunday morning. Wait till Monday and you can get this out of your system. No, I'm kidding. But I take these fish oil capsules along with my shake. I know this gross shake nobody here likes. But I drink health food shakes and do all that stuff, but nobody likes them. They don't like the green stuff floating in them. I don't know. I just ignore it. But I take fish oil capsules, big ones, and pray they never hang up. That's when they're bad. But get them down. But I didn't notice that when I put it out on the counter, it rolled off. So I'm over there and I'm getting my power greens, chard, kale, all the good dark stuff to cram in this thing. And I stepped over to the sink and there was this loud pop. And I looked down and there's this gooky stuff just splattered out in front of my boot. And then this funny smell hit me. And I thought, what is that? And I lifted up and I'm hopping around and knowing that it's all over my boot. And I took a paper towel to wipe the boot. It's fish oil. And oh my God, it's on my boots. I got to go to church and this stuff. It's all over the floor. And I was spraying on this kaboom and that kaboom stuff and all that stuff. And so I'm trying to get that out. Fish oil. Listen. If you're ever taking fish oil capsules, swallow them quick. I found out today just what happened to step in. Don't let them ever dissolve here. I don't think that's going to be fun. Anyway, when I heard that pop and then I got that smell, it just, I wanted to go non-pastoral just for a moment. And I thought, wait till Monday. If you didn't know it, pastors designate Monday as their cuss and get mad day. They can't on Sunday or any other day, but Mondays, that's why Mondays, if you call me, some of you have had that experience. And usually it's because something I don't know about this, just one message can tire me out to the point. And I've talked to so many other pastors, said, yeah, because it's spiritual warfare to get this out. And we're not good on Mondays. It's not my best day. That's why I kind of stay away from people. But I wanted to say something so bad, and I thought, isn't this great? Why can't you just laugh about it and go on? But no, our human nature wants to get all mad. And I was stalking around, and I'd say, why does it have to be on Sunday morning? Couldn't this have happened any other day of the week? But no, I got to step on it on Sunday morning. And I was just going on there for that. And finally the Lord said, what are you preaching on? I did. It's not this question. What are you preaching on today? Oh, love. Well. Okay, you got a little over an hour's drive to get down here so you can kind of get this out of your system, and I did. And I went out, you know what I did? I ran out in the yard, and it was all, you know, it was all dew out there. But I was running around grinding these boots in the grass so I wouldn't come in here, and you'd be, when I walked by you, so you wouldn't be going, he smells bad today. You know, I didn't want that. And so I put on some extra cologne. I did. I really did. I put that on just in case there's still some little lurking odor from my boots down there. So if you think something smells fishy, you know why. This whole point is this. Look at us. Look how we mess up. Look at all the things we do. And listen, I know you're sitting here and I'm kidding around and talking about some kind of superficial things. And you may be sitting here saying, yeah, did he know that I was going to have an affair? Or two or three of them, or whatever it was? Did he know I was going to have an abortion? Did he know that I was going to steal from my job or my friends? Did he know that I was going to really do this? I mean, seriously, Tony, it's more than stepping on a fish oil capsule and wanting to say something ugly. Did he know I was going to do those kind of things? And the answer to that is, he sure did, but he loves you more than your sin. He hates our sin, but he loves you. And he loves you more than the sin he knew you were going to commit, however hideous you think it may be. He loved you knowing in advance you'd do it. And when you did it, no surprise to him, and so he still loves you that much. And yes, even with the affairs, even with the abortions, even with the whatever, stealing and whatever it is, maybe you broke up a friendship over something really goofy, or who knows, it can be any number of things, and you still have that in your mind, and God is saying, and I knew that before I created you, and I love you, and you're not going to make me stop loving you. So let's look at 1 John 4:10 real quick, and then we'll just hit these points so you can go home and eat your steak and potato this afternoon. 1 John 4:10 says, and this is love. He said, if you don't know what love is, here it is. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Scripture uses words like that, propitiation. We don't use those words anymore. It means atoning sacrifice. An atonement. So Jesus is our atonement. What does that mean? He took our place. He shed his blood in that place of our punishment. He took it. And he shed his blood to cleanse us. He gave his life as a final sacrifice. So he's the atoning, the interceding, the intercessory, the go-between sacrifice to make us right with God for once and for all. No more animal sacrifices. Jesus is it. That's what he's saying. So God loves you. He really loves you. And how much does he love you? He sacrificed the son of his love for you. You know, we don't get it sometimes. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Do you know what that means? We can't comprehend all this. It means that God, still being God in heaven over everything, put his essence, his spirit, his character inside of the flesh. And he called himself his son Jesus. You know, we use the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit, and they're all one the same thing. They do different things, different functions. How did God in heaven be also in a man? Because he's God. And if I could figure it all out, listen to me. I have people say, Tony, I can't believe because I just can't make sense of it. I can't figure it all out. And I said, then you've just made my point. If I can figure it all out, he's not God. But if I can't figure it out and it's beyond me and above me, then I know he's God. Because I can't reason with it and deal with it and figure it out on a human level, and that's where I take it by faith. Right? That's where it all comes into play. I don't want to be able to figure God out. I want to know his will. But if I can put him out here on a little chart for you and say this is God and it's all there is to it, that's not God. A lot of people tried to do that, but that's not our God. And so what he's doing here, and he's saying, I sacrificed my son for you, the son of my love. But in essence, God is saying, I sacrificed myself for you. I came down here and put myself in a body, and I let myself be subject to all the elements. I breathed the same air. I wore the same clothes. I suffered the same temptations. It says Christ was tempted in every way that we are, yet he didn't sin. But he was tempted. He said, I've gone through everything that you'll ever go through. I sure know what rejection is, and I know what heartbreak is. And by the way, and just in case we don't forget, for those of you, and it's, I know a bunch of people it's happened to, and so you're out here this morning, listen to this. And he's also saying, and I know what it means to be stabbed in the back by one of my own people. Because a lot of Christian people do not want to go to church this very day because somebody in the church betrayed them. You shared a secret, you shared something personal about your kids or about yourself or about your past, and before you know it, somebody else is calling you on the phone and say, oh, I didn't know that you, and you're going, you only shared it with one person, right? And by the time it goes around, it's a lot worse than when it started. And if we're real honest with ourselves, if you've been in church life a long time, there's not many that haven't been stabbed, hurt, betrayed by somebody. So was Jesus, and he understands. He really got it. I mean, he was really betrayed, right? To the end, to death. And he knew who it was going to be. And then, you know, you ever thought about the very guy doing it was also the guy that kept the money? I've never understood that. It says Judas was the treasurer for their little group. Boy, you know, I wonder if Jesus was saying, son, I'm giving you every opportunity here to come clean. And it mentions in there, you know, he was taking money from the box, and Jesus knew it, and he still put up with him. Let me ask you something. You ever been taking money from the box? I laugh about all that, and then I think, Tony, you ever taken from God and not given back? You ever dipped into all the gifts and good things he's given you and stole it? I think we do, don't we? And we want to keep for ourselves what he told us to share. Anyway, just a thought. So there's God in the flesh. He sacrifices himself. He gave us the Ten Commandments. You know what the Ten Commandments were here for? Nobody could keep them. You know what the Ten Commandments do for you and me? You say, yeah, it shows our sinfulness. That's what the Scripture says. It does something else too. I've had people really get upset over the Ten Commandments, say that there's no way in the world we can keep those. And it's like, no, but they were here to protect you. They're here to show your sinfulness because you can't keep them. But the Ten Commandments are here to protect us. It's to keep us from doing something that hurts ourselves or other people. You look at all the Ten Commandments and it's like, we can't keep them, so it shows that how sinful we are. And Jesus came and fulfilled them. And so we don't have to, you know, have to worry that under the letter of the law that we'll never make it. But friends, listen. The Ten Commandments were put here to protect us. If anybody asks you about those anymore, you tell them it's to keep you from killing yourself. It's to keep you from hurting somebody else. You don't covet. You don't do something with your neighbor's wife or your neighbor's husband. You don't go out and deliberately plot murder. And on and on and on. And it says it's to keep you from harming yourself as well as anyone else. He gave the Ten Commandments to protect us. And then Jesus came and fulfilled all the law, and he redeemed us from the curse of it and put us under grace. And you ought to be able to take a big, deep breath this morning and say, I can't keep the commandments, but I can sure accept grace. Which means what? Jesus loves me in spite of myself. He does. Every single one of us. He won't give up on you. He's entrusted the stewardship of this whole world to us. We're not doing a very good job, are we? But he entrusted it to us. And he put his own spirit, his own essence, his own self in every one of us when we believe in him. That's how much he loves us. Your body's his temple. Temple living God, the temple of the Holy Spirit. And friends, this whole message is designed, and the Lord just put it on my heart, encourage my people. I want them to hear that I love them. It doesn't have to be astounding doctrinal stuff today. I just need them to have just a moment of knowing that I love them, knowing everything they've done, ever going to do, and I still love them. And God loves you, and it doesn't make any difference what you did before you walk in here. God loves you. And he loves you so much, he sent Jesus Christ, his Son, himself, God in the flesh, to live amongst us and experience everything we experience, even death. By the way, I'll tell you something. People ask me, well, Tony, as a pastor and you're getting older, I don't like hearing that. The VA tells me all the time, you're getting older. It's like, so are you, Doc. You steady with that scalpel as you used to be? But there's one thing I still haven't made peace with totally, and I'll be honest with you. I have not totally made peace with death. It's only not that many years ago I finally made peace with life. Everybody hearing me? I finally had to learn how to live. Most of my life was spent doing things for other people and so forth, and I'm just finally learning how to live. And everybody hearing what I'm saying? So, how many in here really think you're prepared to die? Okay, so when the train blows the whistle, none of us are getting on board right yet. Huh? We're not volunteering. That's one of the things, and I try to be as honest and open with you as I possibly can. I don't run from it. I don't know that I fear it, but I'm not there yet. And I want to tell you something about it. Jesus died. And we know that. And he rose again. And I'm so glad. Because it takes the edge off of that unknown. Having to fear because we know. We know how it's going to be. But you know, nowhere did he say we're to run out and volunteer. He said, I've come to give you, what, death and give it in abundance? I've come to give you life and give it in abundance. And Jesus said, I want you to live. And I want you to live abundantly. And when I've used you up, I'll call you home. Everybody good with that? It's taken me all these years, most of these years, to finally start learning just to live. Instead of being stressed out, worried all the time, upset over what people think all the time. Think about how much of that stuff we get into in our lives. It's like, son, Jesus loves you in spite of all that, but he's come here to deliver you and set you free from it. I'm not here to live for people and what they think. I'm here to live for him. He loves you that much. So let's move on and close this up. Jesus really loves you. God really loves you. Jesus really loves you. He said, you know, just as the Father, Jesus said, just as the Father has loved me, I've also loved you. Abide in my love. How much did Jesus love you? Well, he came here to live like you. You ever thought, you know, we look at Jesus and there's always pictures. And we don't know what he looked like really. But there's always a halo around him and everything. You always, right? When you see a picture of Jesus, there's always a glow. Let me tell you about the real Jesus. He wasn't any different in dress or in demeanor than his fellow human beings as far as being a human. And so let's get real with this. What did they wear in those days? Sandals. His feet got really dirty. I hate to tell, there's so many people, you see them in such a pristine, pure condition. But everything his disciples had to experience, he experienced. That means his clothes got dirty. And I have not read anywhere in the Bible where they had any band deodorant with me. And you say, you're trying to be gross, and I'm trying to be real. Did you know he and when he ate, how many of you can eat a meal every time and not spill something on yourself? Some of you ladies can. Is there any guy in this place that can eat a meal and not somehow the whole front of his shirt? Why is that? You know, I know, I the first thing I keep, I have three bottles of what? That spray and wash, that shout stuff. Because I know, and I keep on those little Tide pins in my pickup, because if I go eat a meal, here it is. Even whatever, this, what do we have, sandwiches up here? There'll be something drip on the shirt. And I don't know why. Think about it. These guys were the same way, and stuff dripped on their clothes. They didn't have a great deal of toothpaste either. The point I'm making is this. Have you ever identified with Jesus and let him identify with you? He says, abide in me and let me abide in you. Have you ever realized that his feet got just as dirty as ours could get in a pair of sandals? And he dripped food on his clothes too? And have you ever thought about the fact that he tripped over rocks just like we do? You think he ever fell down? The difference was he probably came up laughing when we came up. Yeah. Well, anyway, there wasn't any detergent much, but you know, think about it. So he suffered all of that, and he went through all the stuff we go through, and he knows what we feel. And he knows what we need. He knows what it's like to be human, and he knows what it's like to smell bad and to feel bad. And he knows what it's like for his hair to be matted down because he hadn't been able to wash it lately. He went through all of that. And he knows what it's like to bleed and to hurt and to be broken and to be crucified. And he knows what it's like living in this body and how easy it is for us to fall and to become fearful and stay up at night worrying about what the future holds or if there's a future. Do you get this? He knows how easily misled we are. He's looked at Peter out there, and Peter was bragging, I'll never betray you, I'll die with you. And then, do you know him? No. I'll believe you're with him, not me. Did it 3 times, right? So he knows, Jesus knows what it's like, and he knows how weak this flesh can be, and yet he forgives us every time we fall short and fail. He forgives us. We look to him and say, I'm sorry, forgive me. And just like Peter, we realize so ashamedly what we've just said, what we just did, and he's saying, I forgave you before you ask. And he refuses to ever let us go. And he wants you to always be with him, in spite of how smelly your life may have been. Even if you step on fish capsules in the morning. Let me hit you with these 2 things in closing. Don't go away from here without realizing not only does God love you, and Jesus really loves you, but the church really loves you too. I've been in churches where if you wanted love, you had to hunt it down. Everything was rules and regulations. We worked hard under the leadership of the Holy Spirit in building a church here. We're not a very big place, but at least we have heart. And anybody can come in here and find love. And that's why we exist. You'll hear more about this if you stay for the class, but I'll say it here. Those of you that have to go home, this church was founded, started to help hurting people that couldn't find another place to go. We've never lost that. We minister a healing ministry and reach out to those because that's what Christ has come to do, and that's just where this was led to go. Other churches do other things, and there's nothing wrong with that. But Jesus said, "Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law." The church loves you so much, they look forward to seeing you every week. You look forward to seeing everybody else when you walk in. One of my blessings is not just being coming up here. It's being able, I walk in and the first thing I hear is, you know, "Hi, Tony." And it's not like this, "Hi, how are you?" And da, da, da. And it's like, I didn't get that in every place I was at. I've walked into churches as a pastor and it was cold and you just get those frosty stares. And you're thinking, "Oh, what is it? Dear God, did I not wear the right color of suit today?" And it's not that way. The church loves you and accepts you as you are. You don't have to dress up inside or outside. And they come running to help you the best they can. When you cry here, people cry here. "Oh, thank you. What does God want? Did I miss a point?" He said, "You skipped something. I want you to, you know, okay." When you cry, everybody cries. That's what he said. Weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. And here in the church, you know what we want? We want your relationship. We love you so much. We want your relationship with God to be the most important thing in your life. A part of us goes with you wherever you go. If you get involved in something, we're involved in it. We'll always feel. Why? Do you get this? It's not stuff just to say to flatter. It goes back to the first two points we already made. Because God really loves us and Jesus really loves us and He lives within us. And if He lives within us, that makes a church. The church is you and me. It's not this building. The church is you and me, the body of Jesus Christ. And if we accept His love, then His love comes out. And you can't beat that deal. If it wasn't for His love, I sure wouldn't be here. Somebody reminded me, not here, but somewhere else, and said, "Tony, you remember when you left the ministry? You said you'd never go back." I said, "I've told them that many times in there. They know that story." But I did. And I left hurt and bitter and angry at God, really, and at the church. It took me a long time to realize that God said, "Before I made you in the womb, I knew you'd do this. And I knew I'd have to confront you with it. And I knew I'd let you feel sorry for yourself for a while and work through your hurt and your pain. But your place in your life is in the church with the body of Christ. And you're here to build them up and do the best you can to help my people. And I'm not going to let you go no matter what you say to me. And He's not going to let you go no matter what you say to Him." Does anybody want to go? Have you ever wanted to walk really? Have you ever wanted to really get away from God? Anybody? You ever wish He wasn't watching? You ever wish He wasn't listening? Okay. Yeah, I have too. We want you to see, succeed, and be full of joy. And now, you say, what'd you do? Save the real bell ringer till last? Usually try to. Because there's a big old question here, right? Do you love you? With everything you just heard, do you love you? Are you mad at God because your nose crooked? Your feet's too big? Mad at God because you got knobby knees? You ever look at those people on the, you know, turn on your TV and you're saying, if only. It's like, when God made me, He must have just been confused because those things are in the wrong places. All the lumps and bumps just don't fit like they do there. You ever thought about that? I mean, has it ever frustrated you that you're like you are? That you have freckles, creases, wrinkles? That your hair won't stay in the right place? all these kind of things. When we go through so much worrying about all that, and let me just share this with you. I don't ever tell anybody don't wear the right clothes. If you want to put some stuff on, big deal. Do it if it makes you feel better. But the bottom line is this. God made this body for you, and He chose it. And there comes a time to say, you know, I'm going to do the best I can to take care of it. Drink one of Tony's health shakes every day. You know? Get out and walk 45 minutes, all that kind of stuff. But in the end, certain things will be there, whether you like them or not. It'll just work that way. And when you look at yourself in the mirror, instead of looking at all those blemishes that you've, you know, it's funny, nobody else sees something, but you'll see it in the mirror, and the longer you look at yourself in the mirror at a little blemish, it gets bigger. And have you ever walked in with a bunch of people, and we do this, don't we? And we say, and of course we're worried, everybody's looking at it, right? We say, that little place, you look at that, right? And they're saying, I didn't know it was there, but they do now. And now the rest of the day they're looking at it because you pointed it out. Why do we do that? Self-proclaimed martyrs, right? We just martyr ourselves. And what God is saying, I love you. I want you to love you. Not be in love with yourself, but love yourself. Because if you don't, listen. If you don't, and it comes from knowing, understanding and grasping the fact and accepting by faith into your heart that God really loves you, Jesus really loves you, the church really loves you, but it all comes down then, do you love you and who you are in Jesus Christ? Mark 12 says this. Jesus answered, he was asked a question, what's the first commandment of all? And he said, the foremost is this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. He said, it starts with that. There's one God. That's it. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor, what? As yourself. And there's no other commandment greater than these. I see people hurt other people, talk nasty to other people, rude to other people out here in this world. And the first thing that comes to mind is what you're doing is showing me and anybody else who's watching you that you really don't like yourself and you don't have any self-respect. You don't have any self-esteem. You don't have a comprehension of anything of how much God, Jesus loves you. Because if you did, you'd treat people like you treat yourself. And generally what we do to others is only an extension of what we're doing to ourselves. And you say, well, what's the answer? Stop it. You wanted something profound, didn't you? Okay. Just stop and pay attention for a minute. And just accept that Jesus loves you in spite of yourself. That's it. I said that a while ago. Just accept it. God, Jesus loves you in spite of yourself. That's it. Quit trying to make Him not love you. He loves you in spite of yourself. Jesus was given for you. He didn't have to. He volunteered. God in Christ gave Himself up for you. Accept that. You say, I'm not pretty. I'm not nice looking. My weight's... can't control it. I got a solution to that, though. If you can't control your weight, I can give you a doctor to call. And I found out how to lose weight real quick. And, you know, y'all are busting today, but I found out the quick way. They found a little tumor down there, and before you know it, I'd lost about, what, 30-something pounds, you know? Of course, they went in and took it out, but that's one way to lose weight. If you want to do that, you can grow one of those. Don't want to do that? Okay. That's why I tell people that some of them have mentioned, so I'm going to have one of those bypass, whatever they call it. I said, don't. You don't want to do that? Oh, that's awful. Anyway, the point being, let's all relax a minute and say, it's not about your weight. You know, eat the best you can, do the best you can do. Drink your shakes or do your workouts. But in the end, you're who God made you. And if you keep looking at yourself from your eyes instead of His, you'll always be unhappy. And one of these days, you're going to need to stand there and say, you know what? Thank you, God, that you made me like I am. Because it's not what's on the outside that's so important, it's what's on the inside. And you've given me tremendous spiritual gifts to use for you. And that's what I want people to see, because through that gifting, they're going to see the work of Christ in me. And when you let Jesus Christ, God, really love you, and you let His Spirit put that love in your heart, and you begin to exercise it, do it, live it, people no longer look at you outwardly. They're looking at you on the inside. And you know what they're saying about you to everybody else? There is one heck of a neat person. That person walks the walk. They don't talk it. They do it. They're for real. And if there's anything this world needs right now, our country needs, is real Christians living the real life that the real God called them into, to love and to love and to love. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the power of it. Thank you for the goodness, the grace of it. And this day, Father, open our hearts to just accept God's love. He really loves us. Jesus really loves us. The church loves us. And to just let that flow into us so that we can really love who we are in Christ. We're in His image. God really loves me. You need to say that prayer. God, just bring that home to every heart. God loves us. Never leave us or forsake us, and no one can take us out of His hand. For God so loved us, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Jesus will not perish, but have everlasting life. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Amen.